1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice because of the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nation shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. And of those from Sheba shall come, and they shall bring gold and frankincense, and they shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Our second reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the second chapter. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." And when King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may too go and pay him homage." And when they heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and they paid him homage. And then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord. Barbara Brown Taylor is an incredible preacher and writer, and she wrote something that I thought was good for us to start our time together with. This is about the wise men. "No, they would not be going back through Jerusalem," they said. All three of them had had a dream that steered clear of Jerusalem, as if they had to be told. If anyone in Jerusalem knew anything at all, they would be here instead of there. Besides, none of their old maps worked anymore. They would find a new way home. So the wise men picked up their packs, which were lighter than before, and they lined up in front of the baby to thank him for the gifts he had given them. "What in the world are you talking about?" the baby's mother laughed, and they told her so she could tell him later. "For this home and the love here," the first wise man, who could not remember how to say it in runes. "For baby flesh," said the second wise man, who had no interest in living on herbs anymore. "For a really great story," said the third wise man, who thought telling it might do a lot more for him than walking on coals. And then the wise men trooped outside, stretched, kissed the baby goodbye, and went home by another way. Think about it. Think about it. We've got three wise men who, over the course of their studies, have been anticipating the coming of a king. They have done the work. They had stories and they had sources that called them to look at their charts to know that this is the time the king would come. Some even say that the wise men didn't know each other until they got to Jerusalem. Their studies had been independently, but their conclusion had been the same. And so now they have found themselves together. They're kind of in a verification process with Herod. Is this what's really happening? And in asking the question, they have sent Herod and others on edge. So Herod sends them out under the guise of, "I'd like to meet the king as well." And they follow this new star from Jerusalem. But then we wonder what happened when they arrived. The scriptures tell us that they were overwhelmed with joy. Remember that joy is more than happiness. Joy is not just a surface level emotion. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy comes from inside. It is an overwhelming feeling that fills our whole heart. And they felt this. When they saw the baby, they knelt down and they worshiped him. They humbled themselves before Emmanuel. And they gave him gifts, not baby gifts, because this baby was not just a baby. This baby was the king, the Messiah, the one the star had brought them to. And then there was the dream. Again, they may have studied independently and come to Jerusalem independently, but they also had dreams independently that told them it was time to go another way, that their journey would continue in a way that they had not charted before. And that's because they had met Jesus. They had met Jesus and they were transformed. They had dreamed of a light that would guide them, and they had indeed met the Savior. And there they knelt and they worshiped before him. So no, they couldn't return home the same way they had gotten there. They were filled with this joy and they now had faith. And so what do you do when all of a sudden you are overwhelmed with joy and you have met Jesus? You can now answer the question, when did you really first get to know Jesus? And this is a question that I really enjoy hearing the answers to. When did you first meet Jesus? It's not I went to vacation Bible school and Sunday school, but when did you first really meet Jesus to be your own Lord and Savior? And some folks, their story includes a crisis or a critical moment, and that's okay, where they were so low and life was so bad that that is when they were able to see the light in the midst of the darkness, and that is part of their story. Some folks may have faith and trust in God for a long time, maybe even their entire life, but claiming Jesus as their Lord and Savior happens in the middle of just normal life. It just happens. When some folks feel as if they've had no faith at all, and then one day their eyes open and all of a sudden they see things differently because now they are aware of the risen Lord. And I toss out all the possibilities because sometimes we like to put boundaries around God about what is acceptable when God is so infinite and God's love is so sovereign that we forget that God's creative spirit can do amazing things. God's light guided shepherds and wise men by a star. God did that. And so I wonder, how do we answer that question ourselves, if we've even asked ourselves that question? Maybe we need to start with the wise men. How would they answer the question? When did you first meet Jesus, wise man number one? Oh, we came to this building and we found this baby. And I don't know how I knew, but I knew that this was the King of Kings. I have some stories for you all just to help you kind of wrap your head around it a little bit. One of my friend's parents came to know Jesus at our wedding. He had not been a person of faith before, but came to the wedding because friends of the family go to weddings out of town, right? And he was overwhelmed with the power of worship. The worship service grabbed him by the heart. And he left worship and he left the reception. And 2 weeks later on a road trip, he saw a church on the side of a country road, and he pulled over and knocked on the door. When the unsuspecting pastor who opened the door said, "How may I help you?" And he said, "I want to profess my love for Jesus. I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior." And so while he may have said those words to that unsuspecting pastor on the country road, he met Jesus November 16th. In worship. I met a lady at Dillard's last week at the one-day sale, which nobody should ever do. That was an experience. But we're in line forever, and she was talking about worship, and I said, "Oh, did you go to watch night services last night?" She said, "We did, but let me tell you why." She said, "Last year, I was ready to go to watch night services, and my husband said he wanted to go out for a little while, and he came back at 3 o'clock in the morning." And I said, "Oh." She said, he was calling out my name in the yard, and I just left him there because I had missed church. She said, but then 8 o'clock in the morning, I hear him calling my name again. So I go outside to tell him what I'm thinking. And I said, oh, how did that go? She said, he was having a heart attack. We called 911, and he got 3 stents put in that day. So yesterday, he was the first one dressed for watch night services because he wanted to share his testimony because he met Jesus a year ago. And then a story that Macy shared with me, and she has given me permission to share the story. I was telling her about the service and kind of what I wanted to do and asked the question, when did you first meet Jesus? And she said, that sounds like something a preacher's kid should be able to answer. I said, no, not really. I mean, I'd be nice, but it's not something you have to do. She said, that sounds like a confirmation question. I went, yeah, that's definitely a confirmation question. She said, well, I have my answer already. Do you want to hear it? You know, I should never do these things while I'm driving. And I said, yes, I want to hear your story. And she said, I've always known who God is. I've always trusted God. I've known who Jesus is. But when I was with a group of middle schoolers and we were worshiping and praising God and everyone was standing and singing, I felt the Holy Spirit dancing with us. That's when I first knew Jesus as my own. And for me, it was on a road called Mississippi in Montreat. Whole week, I would be on this road and I would get stopped in unusual ways. And while I had grown up with the faith my entire life, it took until high school for me to stand there and say, Jesus, you are my Lord. You are my Lord, my Savior. And really own it. I believed it, but it became a part of who I was. And none of us could return home the same way again. The man from Dillard's could not go back to worship the same way after getting his stents. Macy came home transformed. We could see it in her eyes. My parents' friend joined the church. He came home from the road trip and told his wife, we're going to church now. That's when I got the call in the story. Because when you are transformed because you have met Jesus and Jesus has grabbed of you so tightly that all of a sudden the world looks different, you can't go home with the old map, right? You have to use the new map that guides you in the way of the gospel. And so I'm going to ask you a favor. I want to hear your stories. I do. Whether it's this week, next week, or a year from now, I am selfish in the fact that I want to sit with every person and say, when did you first meet Jesus? And I really want to listen. So don't tell me on the way out of church, okay? Or Wednesday nights during Backpack Buddies. Those are not my best listening times. But call me. Let's set up a time to get together. Or email me or write me your story. I want to know, when did you first meet Jesus? Not when did you come to faith, because I think that's a bigger, broader question, but when did you open your eyes and kind of know something was different? Or maybe because I'm asking this question, you have some anxiety, maybe some anger or frustration, because you're like, I'm in church, but I don't know if I've met Jesus or not. That's okay. All these stories were people of all different ages, at all different walks of life, who had these faiths, these kind of underbellies of things that were going on in their life. But there was a moment where they realized, oh, I claim you as my Lord and Savior. So maybe instead of the question being, when did you first meet Jesus? But the question is, I am seeking to meet Jesus. I want to hear that story too. Because those are incredible times for us to be in prayer. And again, selfishly, I want to soak them up like a sponge. But the bigger piece of it is I think we should be able to articulate when we first met Jesus, or that we're seeking to know Jesus. It shouldn't just be in confirmation that we ask the class of 12 and 13-year-olds and then you never get asked again. There's a whole life after 12 and 13, and so maybe something has happened since then. Maybe you haven't shared your story. And it's okay to take that time and really kind of sit with it and wrestle with it. Maybe share it with a friend or your spouse, or maybe even a parent or a child. When we come to the table, this table is set for people who have met Jesus and for people who are seeking to know Jesus. This table is set because Jesus loved us so much that he died for us This table is set because he loved us so much that he gave us the words to say at the table, to say, this table is transformed by me because I'm going to die for you, for your sins. And I'm going to come back and I'm going to be with you always. And so this table, all it says is, do this in remembrance of me. And no matter where you are in your journey, that's all he asks. Do this in remembrance of me, whether you really know me or not. I want you to come to this table and to know that I love you so much that I will be here for you always. So we remember the wise men because it's Epiphany and because the star is so bright and because the star is God's light that guided them and that guides us. The wise men, they journeyed independently but together. They worshiped and knelt down before him together. They were overwhelmed with joy together. And then they left all together, transformed by the Holy Spirit, because they were able to kneel and to know that Jesus was King. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.